In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered in particular for the health of our sister, Mary Taylor. Today we celebrate the feast day of one San Francisco Borgia. You know San Francisco Borgia? St. Francis Borgia? Yeah. He's a really great saint. He's one of the early ones who followed San Ignacio de Loyola. He was, in fact, later on would become the third general of the order of the Jesuits. You know who he started? He started incredibly well. He was brilliant, like young Angel Gabriel over here. Absolutely brilliant. In every way, he was given to a devotion from an early age. He had a great facility for learning and studying the things that were put before him. In fact, one of the texts that I wrote about him today said that he himself was able to, even from the age of 7. Is that how old you are, Angel? You're 7 years old. So when he was 7 years old, your age, that he could already read the office, meaning the prayer books that the priests pray every day, in his mother's tongue, meaning in Spanish, because he was Spanish, and also in Latin, was able to do it as well. An impressive young man. He started from his earliest age, and he was born of nobility, meaning that he was not of the kingly line, but he was good friends of Charles V, the great Catholic king, the great Roman emperor, Charles V of Habsburg. There, he was called into service at a young age to serve the court. What does that mean to serve in the court? You remember the stories that you may read about the kings and how they have all those people who hang out in the castle with them that are really, really close and sit in the throne room and do all the important things? He was one of those. He was one of those for King Ferdinand of Aragon as well. Do you remember who King Ferdinand's wife was? Doña Isabel. Doña Isabel, la reina, Queen Isabel. And she was one of the most beautiful women in the whole of the kingdom. There's a reason why she was chosen, she who came from Castile, to go and be the wife of Ferdinand. Because she was absolutely gorgeous. And so he loved to be able to be there. St. Francis Borgia was so taken with the beauty of this queen that he would linger. And as long as he could stay in her presence, he would lean there. But he wasn't lusting after her, but he was enjoying the greatness of her beauty. And always wonder, wow, how blessed is King Ferdinand to have a woman like that to be around, to take in her beauty at such times. Wow. Same way in which your father looks at your mother, same way in which Manuel looks at his wife Lydia, the same sort of way, just taking in that beauty that was there and how great that is. Well, he was chosen because he was so upstanding and so pure of heart that he, when Doña Isabel died, remember, she's the one who sent Christopher Columbus, whose feast day we celebrate today in a secular calendar way. It's really a gift that the U.S. government gave to the Italian-American community for the great abuses that they had done against Italian-Americans. That's why Columbus Day is a national holiday and why it was established, particularly in New York, for the grave, terrible, terrible, violent things that the U.S. government did against the Italians. So we have that feast day today, St. Christopher Columbo. Oh, he's not a saint, but he was proposed for sanctity. Strange thing, this is an aside, this isn't what I'm preaching on, but do you know why he wasn't made a saint? It's not anything that you would think of. It's because he had an illegitimate son. That was the only reason, really. That's the only thing that they could bring against him. But the Pope wanted his cause to continue forward, but he didn't force the cause forward. He could have very easily in the 1800s, because there was so much desire for it to get forward. Also, something that threw it aside is that Protestants in the United States of America took him as one of their great ones of an industrious person. And so there was some people who said, well, because the Protestants have co-opted this great Catholic man, maybe we shouldn't raise him forward. Just a strange thing of history there, but if you read his life, he was a shoo-in for sanctity. He was really just waiting on a miracle, but they called it to the quits because they said he had an illegitimate son, which shouldn't be a reason why you should hold somebody back from canonization. There's plenty of times where saints have had illegitimate children. Look at St. Augustine, one of the greats. We'll talk about him in just a moment when in Spanish. I have a quotation from you there. Now, this man, getting back to St. Francis Borgia, remember, he's serving the queen. He had the great grace of being able to accompany her after she died to take her to her place of burial. How great that would be, a knight, a good one, going to accompany this great woman who he loved and thought she was the most beautiful of all people in the entirety of the world. And he himself was, as a knight, as one of the court, able there to escort her. Can you imagine how great that would be? Here he was, doing it. As they were stopping off in the various places on the way to where her final resting place would be, I believe her final resting place, I didn't read this, but I'm just guessing, that it was in the great place of Escorial. It's a beautiful place if you can go there. Escorial, where all the Catholic kings are buried. It's a great place. It's really Spanish, really, really would fit in with our New Mexican and Mexican cultures, because it's just, it's nothing like the French glory of really nice things and comfort. It's very Catholic, so it's austere. And you see how difficult they lived, how faith was the only thing that was important to the Catholic kings. That's an aside there too. But when he was escorting her to her burial place, what happened is that her coffin fell to the ground. It fell off the cart that it was being buried, where she was going to be buried. And so because it fell down, that meant the top of the casket came off. And what does that mean? You can see. What do you think? That's right. You could see the dead body, right? You could see the dead body there. What do you think he saw? Do you think he saw the most beautiful woman he's ever seen in his entire existence? He saw corruption. He saw what death does to a beautiful person. And he could smell the grossness of rotting flesh. It turned his stomach. He couldn't go on any further. And that changed everything about Francis Borgia. It changed everything about him, that experience. Where this woman he saw, this is the greatness of beauty and the greatness of sanctity, because she was a very, very holy woman herself. She should be canonized as well, but that's another story for another time. Yet, here she was, corrupted totally. Her face eaten away by corruption, which was so beautiful before. She who smelled of the finest perfumes now smelled of death. He was shaken to his core. And so after that, he said, so are the vanities of this world. So is everything in flesh. The most beautiful persons you can think of, the most gorgeous that they could be in this life, will not be so after death, because death destroys. And so he realized death destroys all things. Everything in this world is headed toward corruption. So from that moment on, he pursued all the more with vigor things that would last unto eternity. Faith, to be a saint. That's the very thing that caused the change in his life. We talk about all the great things that happened in his life, how he advanced and tried to throw away honors, to eschew them, and to say, no, don't make me somebody great in your order. I just want to be a regular old guy in the order. I just want to be a regular old priest. I just want to be something like that. Don't make me in charge of anything. I've been in charge of things in the world before. That's not what I'm after. I'm after heaven. That's all I want. They tried to make him bishop. He said, no, no, no. He turned everything down. Tried to make him cardinal. He said, no, no, no. He turned it all down. They forced him to be in charge of the order, which he had to do because they forced him to do so. And eventually, they asked him to go help the papal legate, the pope's nephew, to go wage war against the Turks. And he said, fine, I'll help out. But thanks be to God, his prayer was answered because he didn't want to go do it. He just wanted to serve God. And so when he got to Rome, he died. And so he didn't have to complete that task. He died there in Rome and was able to be buried there. And if you go to Rome now, like I've been many times, how I lived there for so long, you can go see his grave. Go pray at the tomb of this holy, holy man. And the one thing that his life teaches you and me is the one thing that changed everything for him. It was all about honor, all about beauty, all about winning things like a knight into battle. When he realized what the end of all souls is all physical things is corruption, he realized, I want something that doesn't corrupt. And that's the faith. So the passage of scripture that should ring true in your heart and in mine is what? Set your heart on things above. Where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Why? Our Lord says, because for wherever your treasure is, for whatever you're longing for whatever you're pursuing is, there you'll also find your heart. And to take it a step further that our Lord was pointing at, he says, and there your heart will remain for eternity, be in those things of corruption or be in those things which can never know corruption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
En el Evangelio nos recuerda la necesidad de cambiar nuestra forma de ver el mundo. Jesús nos hace una llamada a reexaminar cómo aprovechamos las oportunidades que tenemos ante nosotros. El objetivo no es solo pasar por esta vida, sino estar plenamente preparados para la próxima vida, para la que hemos sido creados, el cielo. Con Jesús para la eternidad. Se dice este pasaje de las Escrituras, hacer penitencia por los pecados es un primer paso para obtener el perdón y ganar la salvación eterna. Jesús lo enseña claramente, la Iglesia Católica siempre ha insistido en ello. Ningún cristiano puede crecer en perfección sin la ayuda de la penitencia. El primer acto de arrepentimiento es un acto interior, la detestación del pecado y la determinación de enmendarlo. Esta se consigue con una buena confesión para poder hacer una buena comunión. Pero como su sacerdote, tengo que animarles a hacer actos externos de penitencia. Y en el primer lugar, a mantener sus cuerpos bajo el estricto control de la razón y la fe. Y en el segundo lugar, a reparar los pecados propios y de sus vecinos. San Pablo tuvo una inmensa unión espiritual con Jesús. Estaba en los lugares espirituales más altos, pero recuerda que no dudaba en decir, se dice, golpeo mi cuerpo hasta someterlo. Lo hago mi esclavo. I beat my body into submission. I make it my slave. Nos recuerdo en Galatas capítulo 5, versículo 24, que los que son de Cristo han crucificado su carne con sus pasiones y sus deseos. San Agustín nos dice, no basta que el hombre cambie su conducta para bien y abandone la práctica del mal, sino es mediante la penitencia dolorosa, la humildad doliente, el sacrificio de un corazón contrito y la entrega de limosnas que repara a Dios todo lo que ha hecho mal. Tenemos que hacer penitencia y ser para reparar nuestro mal y el de los demás. La penitencia exterior incluye la aceptación de la voluntad de Dios, una resignación a la dirección de Dios en nuestra vida, un encomendar todas las penas y dificultades de la vida al amor de Dios. Tenemos que aceptar los inconvenientes y las molestias de nuestra vida cotidiana como un regalo de Dios, como nuestra cruz, para poder avanzar en la práctica de la virtud cristiana. Este tipo de penitencia es ineludible. Recuerda que la Virgen lo mencionó en el sermón de ayer. Esta penitencia nos ayuda a obtener la misericordia de Dios y el perdón de nuestros pecados, pero también endulza la amargura de nuestra vida mortal con la promesa de la recompensa celestial de Dios. Concluyemos con una de las mejores frases de San Pablo sobre el sufrimiento. Él se dice, ¿por qué los sufrimientos del tiempo presente no son dignos de compararse con la gloria futura? Compararse con la gloria futura que se manifestará en nosotros, en Cristo Jesús, el Señor. Los sufrimientos del tiempo presente no son dignos de compararse con la gloria futura que se manifestará en nosotros, en Cristo Jesús, el Señor. Mirar a la Santa Cruz. Contemplar su sacrificio. Recordar cómo ganó para ustedes esta misa, pero también lo que esta misa promete, las glorias del cielo. Escuchadlo de nuevo, la frase de San Pablo. Él se dice, los sufrimientos del tiempo presente no son dignos de compararse con la gloria futura que manifestará en nosotros, en Cristo Jesús, el Señor. Y reza, Señor, Señor Jesús, lo creemos. Ayuda nuestra incredulidad. Señor, aumenta nuestra fe. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.